Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, June 11th, 2012. My name is Sally Bathurst. I'll be hosting the show tonight, and my co-host is Charlie Klein. He'll be joining us momentarily. Got a lot of things to talk about tonight. Oh gosh, it's a crazy world out there. But here, just so you know, here at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, it's all about duty, honor, and country. Here, it's about the fact that this is truly a free speech zone where you can say what you want, you can agree or disagree, but it's all about what we have to do to solve the problems for this country. If you are a socialist who is determined to have one world order, one world government, then you're probably not going to be real popular on this show. Because this show mostly is patriots such as myself who actually believe in the Constitution, who believe in what the Founding Fathers wanted for us, believe in personal liberties and freedom. And that truly is, that's what's at risk here. This is what we risk losing. We've lost so much of in the past few years. And so this is what we're going to talk about here. But if you support Agenda 21, if you support sustainable development, if you support illegal presidency for those who are not eligible for it, you know, you're more than welcome to call in and share your point of view. The call number is 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to be placed in the queue to speak on the air. If you do not press 1, I'm not going to know that you want to speak on the air, and we will see you out there, but we won't bother you. We'll let you just listen. I also want to announce, before we get into the main purpose of the show tonight, this is the main topic, is this Wednesday we're going to have another special. Monday and Thursdays are our regular nights to have American Statesman Blog Talk Radio from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. But we've been having some special shows on Wednesday, where we have some people from the West Coast come in. And this Wednesday we're going to have another special, and Bruce Olson will be our co-host that night. He is going to talk about government by deceit and are you really a U.S. citizen? And that topic, I'm going to touch on a little bit of that and why it's going to be important for you to listen in on Wednesday, because it's going to be a very interesting discussion. We've already talked about some of it. We've touched on bits and pieces of it. But we haven't gone into some of the subjects or some of the things that Bruce is going to get into on Wednesday. So mark your calendar Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to tune in. And it's government by deceit, and are you really a U.S. citizen? And it's, when you think about what it's going to cover, government by deceit, and are you really a U.S. citizen, it just, there's so many questions. There's so many things going on with our country. And the ignorance, the dumbing down of Americans, what has happened to us as a society. We are truly sheeple. We're not we the people anymore. It's we the sheeple. We've been turned into a bunch of sheeple and we don't even know it. And just what has happened. And again, you know, here at American Statesman, it's Blog Talk Radio, it's about duty, honor, and country. To say that we've been invaded by the politician, to say that we've been taken over by the politician is an understatement. I don't think I can stress enough of how those who have been elected to serve and protect, to honor the Constitution, these are the people who have destroyed this country. It's not Al-Qaeda. I can't stress enough, Al-Qaeda isn't the one that's destroying this country. It's the people who are elected to public office, the politicians. We have so few statesmen. We have so few of people of honor, ethics, or integrity. And yet, I mean, we have to blame ourselves. We, the sheeple, are the ones who have allowed this to happen. We act like we went to vote on election day. We went and got a sticker put on it, say, yes, I voted, and act like we really did something. But we weren't engaged in the discussion day by day. We didn't go to public meetings. I go to some. I don't go to nearly as many because they make them as difficult as possible to have you attend. They do what they can because this government doesn't want the people it's governing, the true government itself, they want to keep you at distance so they can do what they want and take control. That they have converted us to a bunch of sheeple and we didn't even know it was happening. And until we wake up, until enough of us wake up, thank goodness it doesn't take a majority, it takes an irate minority to make a difference, but we have got to get more people engaged. In the past couple of weeks, I've talked to different people or have information from people who are trying to seek public office, and the system is so corrupt and convoluted that for honest, decent people to run for office, it's next to impossible. And that's, again, why we're here with American Statesmen. We believe that the invasion of the politician is really what has killed this country. It's the politician. It's not Al-Qaeda. And, I mean, some of the things I'm going to talk about, and I had this show, the topic of the show tonight, the end of innocence and the fall of a nation. The end of innocence, I'm calling it the end of innocence because Americans are finally starting to wake up and realize what has happened to this country. And hopefully we wake up enough people and we take enough action soon enough that we can make a difference, that we can change what's happening. But we are so far, I mean, you know, things that I have seen in the past couple of weeks, I mean, I've heard about it for a while, but more and more it's coming to light that there's Russian military on the U.S. soil here to fight us, to fight the American people. And what does that make you think is happening? That they literally have brought foreign military into this country to fight against the U.S. military because the U.S. military will support its own people. At least that's my take on it. But literally having military, foreign military, come onto this homeland to fight the American people. This is being said all over the place. I mean, you can go out there and do a search on it. And if anybody wants it, they can send me an email at info@AmericanStatesman.org, and we'll get it back to you where I can send you the links. But you can go just do a search, Russian military on U.S. soil, and find out where they're training them, and we're at threat. This our own government is arming a military against us. It's disgusting. And that's the end of innocence. Of people, we have to wake up. Many of us have woken up, but a lot of us haven't. The end of innocence. The other thing with the end of innocence is I can't help but I have to talk about Ron Paul and Rand Paul. Excuse me. The Rand Paul last Thursday night made an announcement that, and I mean, he seemed all excited and happy when I saw the replay of it on, he was on Hannity, Fox News Hannity, and he was all excited that he was going to support Romney for the presidency, and the nomination process was over, and his father wasn't going to have enough delegates, and I mean, he had a grin on his face when saying he was going to support Romney, and I'm like, okay, the end of innocence here again. It's like, Rand Paul to support Romney, and this is 2 days after Ron Paul has done his spiel at Texas, and I mean, I started to listen to the streaming from when Ron Paul was at the convention in Texas on June 6th, and his son is saying this on June 8th, and Ron Paul has seemed to have been just totally disappeared, vanished from the face of the earth when trying to find out what's going on here. You know, and like Rand Paul is going to promote and support Mitt Romney, and they somehow think, I mean, can Rand Paul and Ron Paul truly think that those of us, such as myself, who followed them because they actually stood for something and because they believed in something and they didn't believe in all the garbage going on in D.C., do they think that they can go and say, oh, we're going to go get behind Mitt Romney, and they think people like me are going to follow? You got to be joking. I mean, excuse me, anybody who's listened to Alex Jones either Friday or today, Alex Jones is livid. I mean, and most of his listeners, his group followers are too. And similar to me, because we actually believed in Rand Paul and Ron Paul. We actually believed they stood for something. Ron Paul more so because we followed him for years and we've seen what he does on his votes. Rand Paul, his son, a little bit newer to the scene. And when you see this happen, it's like, what? And I'm like, and so I put it out there. I sent it to Rand Paul, his Senate email address. I sent it to Ron Paul's campaign, and then I posted it on Facebook that, you know, that's not me. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not a sheeple. And here's what I actually put out there, and I'm calling it the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty is over. This is the death of innocence. The end of innocence, the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty is over. And here's what I wrote out there. Romney has a lot in common with Obama, As I have said for the past 10-plus months, I will not vote for any progressive liberal, regardless of their party affiliation. This means I will not vote for GOP progressive liberal Mitt Romney. I will vote for Gary Johnson or someone else. Rand Paul and Ron Paul should have known that those who believed in them, believed in principles, would not simply follow them like sheeple to the Mitt Romney camp. Unfortunately, Rand Paul has proven that he has no principles and he can easily be bought by the GOP, and Ron Paul's legacy of liberty has been forever shattered. Both Ron Paul and Rand Paul have surrendered to the corruption they claimed they were against. Here it is Monday, and no formal face-to-face response from Ron Paul. That says it all. Ron Paul ends up being on the wrong side of liberty. This action makes Ron Paul look like a traitor. Ron Paul has a lot of explaining to do. And that was the basic message that I posted out there. And that's exactly what I believe. I mean, Rand Paul, if you have already caved into the GOP, to that in the little bit of time you've been in the Senate, and to have looked so excited about it, to look so happy, this is the kind of stuff that Alex Jones was ranting about. And it's like, if they would have come back and said, well, you know, we know we're not going to make it, and we're trying to make an impact on the Republican platform and this and that, you know, you could have kind of had some, you wouldn't have thought they totally caved in on their principles. But to do it the way they did, to yank the rug out from under the people who were following Ron Paul, who have been following him for years, to play this kind of game, it's just been the end of innocence. You can't believe in Ron Paul or Rand Paul now either. And when you think, here, these are the few people who were championing the Constitution, who seem to really believe in the Constitution. You can't believe in the Constitution and believe in Mitt Romney. I'm sorry, you just can't, because Romney doesn't believe in it either. Romney was a big NDAA person. He supports the Patriot Act. He supports one world order, global, you know. So anybody, if you're going to, you know, for Rand Paul or Ron Paul to rally behind Mitt Romney, you've just proven that you're just as bad as the rest. You've corrupted your own image. And I do believe it's the end of the Ron Paul legacy. I believe, you know, here Ron Paul was so big on promoting liberty. And just, again, a major, major political event 2 days before his son does this, with no hint that this was going to happen, has been totally deceitful to the people who support Ron Paul and Rand Paul. And it makes you lose faith in anything. It's like, you know what? If these two people, especially Ron Paul, if Ron Paul can cave in after all these years of fighting, and this is what he has done, it just, the fall of the nation's here. We can't get a leader. We can't get anybody to rally for the Constitution. If Ron Paul goes and caves in on the Constitution like he has done here, or what it seems to, and I'll go out there and say, yes, for the benefit of the doubt, maybe there's more to this. Maybe there's something else that they were trying to accomplish here, and it will all be made, we'll figure it out later. It'll all make sense at some point. Then, you know, I will stand corrected. But right now, the way this whole thing has been done, it looks like Ron Paul has totally caved in with his son, Rand Paul. And, excuse me, when you think that these two people were the ones who were the strongest champions of that Constitution of anybody, and they have caved in, you just don't know what to think next. And then it's like, we've got to face the truth. We've got to face the facts of what has happened to this country, and we won't be able to turn to Ron Paul or Rand Paul for help. We have to face the fact that it's just like I was talking about, the show for Wednesday, government by deceit. How many ways our country has turned into a fraud? How did this happen? What were we doing on the sidelines? Are we really U.S. citizens? What is a U.S. citizen anymore? Do we even know? What is the Constitution? Do we truly even exist as a nation? Our sovereignty has been destroyed in so many ways. I'm talking about having an identity crisis to know what kind of, whether we have a sovereign state or a sovereign country, this corporate state, corporate country, a corporate citizen, all these different things that we have to be honest. You know, I don't know. I think the fall of this nation is here, or it's close, or may have already happened. It's just it's very discouraging. And what do we do from here to make a difference? What are we going to do to save this country and get back to what we're supposed to be about. I'm really not sure. I listen to Alex Jones, and he's out there, and I love listening to Alex Jones, and I would love to rant the way he does sometimes, and who knows, maybe I do. But he's out there saying the same thing, when it's, he will not vote for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is just a slightly different version of Obama. And, he was just so livid about Rand Paul saying that he agrees with Mitt Romney. Agrees with him on what? And you go play the replays of Mitt Romney saying that the Federal Reserve is good and should continue the way it is and all this other stuff. And I mean, how can you be a Rand Paul or a Ron Paul and say that you support Mitt Romney? It just doesn't make any sense. Either they think everybody's too stupid, they think we're just a bunch of sheeple out here. But those of us who are following Ron Paul, excuse me, over the years, because we truly believed in what he stood for and believed in the Constitution, this has been a major, major blow. And in my own case, like I said, I will not vote for Mitt Romney. There is no way. I'm not voting for Obama, and I'm not voting for Romney. I'll either go with Gary Johnson or somebody else or whatever, but I will not vote for the progressive liberal, and I will not support the corruption of the two-party system. The two-party system is what's killing this country. It's the politicians that we keep putting in office that's destroying this country. The politicians who are letting Russian military people come on the soil, U.S. soil, to defeat American people. The whole thing is just too nuts. And the other thing I was going to mention, too, here is with everything that's gone on with Ron Paul here, he's destroyed his legacy. Unless he comes back with something really major, really soon, to explain what he has done here, his legacy of being, you know, the next George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or, you know, the true champion of liberty and these kind of things, that all goes down the toilet. And I would say right now, again, unless Ron Paul comes up with something soon here, the end of Campaign for Liberty, that will have fallen by the wayside. And we'll know that, I would say, probably within 1 to 2 weeks that's going to happen. And if people would follow and go along with Mitt Romney, then we truly are just we the sheeple. It's just the whole thing has just been totally disgusting to me. And I think it just, we have to have a serious discussion of what's happening in this country. And for those of you that have children, I would think you'd be really scared. I don't know what your children are going to live in. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and get Charlie involved here. Hey, Charlie, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
I had quite a bit of ranting to do there, so sorry I didn't get you in sooner. But now I'll take a break and let you tell me what's going on with you and what do you think about what's happening.
Well, I've heard also that they are training people, foreign nations, coming into American soil, training them to be militia or to go after we the people. That's the rumor. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your country. And if anybody is training anybody in how to fight in the United States against the citizens or our military, that is an act of treason. That is an act to overthrow the sovereign government of America, which happens to be the citizen voters of America and the taxpayers. If this indeed is the truth, then whoever came up with this idea, I don't care if he's a general, admiral, or if he's a member of any member of the White House or Congress, anybody who has anything to do with training anybody from the Soviet Union, Russia, or any organization that is considered to be a terrorist organization against America. They have, in fact, brought subversives into this country to come against we the people, and they should not be training them because Russia has their own training facilities. So therefore, if they brought people in here to train them to attack Americans in our own homes and all that, then, ladies and gentlemen, those people who are operating those camps and those who brought them in and who are giving them visas to come in here to learn, they are the ones who are planning to overthrow the government. and if they are in any way, shape, or form attached to any of our elected officials, that adds the treason charge to all of those who are elected to office. Now, it seems to me that if it is somewhere in the emails and going around in the internet, that would mean that it would get to the media quite quickly. And if the media does not report it, then the media is in violation of 99-390, the Federal Communications Commission's rules and regulations, which means ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox will no longer be entitled to use the airwaves of We the People. But we will have to get somebody there that does use them, and we cannot let our elected officials do it. So keep your ears peeled, because if there's any militia, any kind of, how would you say, training facilities near you in the mountains, in the desert, and they are not with American soldiers, then, ladies and gentlemen, report it to the local authority, to your sheriff, and have your sheriff investigate it, but make sure you back him up. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if this is indeed the truth, you have to go after it. The media is not going to be the eyes of the world, especially of the United States, because World News Tonight on ABC is now about health products. It doesn't tell you what's going on overseas. It doesn't tell you anything like it used to say. They used to keep us informed about the problems overseas, but you rarely hear anything about on World News Tonight about what's going on in England, the uprisings, or anything like that. The dumbing down of America is being systematically imposed on us. We no longer teach our children anything about patriotism in school. Homeschool do get the patriotism treatment. But if they're in a public school, no, because it might be too traumatic for them to find out that 450,000 brave men and women died in World War II to keep you from being controlled by a tyrant like Saddam Hussein or Hitler, Mussolini, or anybody else. So anyway, let's go on with something that is quite interesting. Fiduciary responsibility. We have come up with something here at AmericanStatesman.org that we are now researching, and I did a little looking into it again today. And you may have heard me on a previous one. The fiduciary is something that is you generally hear in a court of law, like fiduciary responsibility. So let me read a little bit of it. Fiduciary is a person having a legal duty created by his undertaking to act primarily for the benefit of another in matters connected with his undertaking. Basically, that means our elected officials have a fiduciary duty to work for we the people, we the citizens, we the taxpayers, to work for us. And they are supposed to do as we want them to do. We said no 3 times to the rail system. So the Orange County Board of Supervisors, Board of County Commissioners, under the leading Mayor Rich Crowdy, with Teresa Jacobs making the motion, decided to spend $44 million more to study rail systems when we the people said no to a rail system. They have violated the fiduciary duty of we the people, to we the people. They took it on themselves to do something and violate their legal duty to represent we the people. They violated our rights according to the Constitution. And they also violated our rights according to the laws of the United States, specifically 18 U.S.C.A. 241, Conspiracy Against Rights, where it says, if two or more people intimidate, blah, 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 any other person in the free exercise of their rights, which is voting at the booth, they shall be fined under this statute. We voted and said no. Seven people said yes. The seven people then denied us the right to vote again on the issue. So they violated our rights 1,000%. But let's get on with this fiduciary responsibility even a little bit further. According to the Constitution, it is the duty and the responsibility, but get this, the fiduciary duty of both houses of Congress to pass a budget every year. When is the last time that the Democrats and the Republicans together passed a budget for the United States of America so that we the people would know how and where the money is going to be spent? It hasn't been done for 3 years. Instead, the Congress of the United States has allowed for executive orders to spend some of the money, for bills to be passed by Congress without even any consideration for the budget, such as the TARP funds and the stimulus bill, and even Obamacare. None of it has been done within a budget. It has been in violation of the budget. The fiduciary responsibility, therefore, has been violated by each and every member who failed to work and pass it, which would be the Democrat Party. Basically, Senator Harry Reid has been sitting on the proposed bills by the Republican Party for about 3 years. I understand he has been sitting on approximately 40 bills that were presented by the Republican Party for consideration by the committees in the Senate. He has failed to even pass these bills to the committees in the Senate for their consideration for the vote, floor vote. Harry Reid is in violation of his very fiduciary duty to we the people of the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, that is indeed a criminal act which calls for his immediate removal from office and compensatory damages to we the people, which means his wages and anything that he may have made while sitting as a senator in the Senate of the United States of America. Why are we saying this now? Because we want to go on record so that when people pull up our archives, they will see that the fiduciary responsibility has been violated. And what's going to happen very soon, ladies and gentlemen, is that this is going to go out to our local media. Fiduciary duty. I have researched it some to the point where there's a Florida Bar Journal that comes out, and it was in the website. It's a Bar Journal article, and it has a title on it, The Florida Bar at floridabar.org. In case you would like to look it up, thefloridabar.org. And here is something about what they are saying. The fiduciary, at the heart of court's interpretation of the fiduciary's relationship, is a concern that persons who assume trustee-like positions with discretionary power over the interests of others might abuse their position. Might. We do not have a might situation in Congress anymore. We do not have a might situation in the state legislature or in the governor's office. Nor do we have a might situation in county government here in the state of Florida. We have actual violations on all of those parts. a person holding the character of a trustee or a character analogous to that of a trustee in respect to the trust and confidence involved in it and the scrupulous good faith and candor which it requires. A person having a duty created by his undertaking, which is he ran for office, and that primarily for another's benefit, which means he promised to work for we the people and do the best job he can for we the people, protecting us from invasion and protecting our finances and protecting our taxes to make sure they go to the right places. In matters connected with such undertaking, that's what I just mentioned, a person having duties involving good faith, trust, and special confidence and candor towards another, which means towards us, towards we the people. That is what each and every elected and appointed official in your representative government is. They are a fiduciary, and they do have a fiduciary responsibility. And it is punishable, and it is a criminal offense to violate such a fiduciary duty. Okay, let me see. The duty of a fiduciary. This is on page 2 of the Bar Journal article. I've only picked out so many parts of it because there's 17 pages. The most basic duty of a fiduciary is the duty of loyalty, which obligates the fiduciary, the elected official, to put the interests of the beneficiary, we the people, first, ahead of the fiduciary's self-interest, and to refrain from exploiting the relationship for the fiduciary's personal benefit. That means that the fiduciary, your congressman, your senator, the president, the governors, the legislators, the mayors, the commissioners, all over this country have a fiduciary responsibility to work for we the people, the citizens, the taxpayers of America, in such a way that they show nothing but good faith, honesty, integrity, and that they're working hard for the benefit of us, not themselves. Now, how is it that a Congress can only work 108 days a year, back when Newt Gingrich was in there? What happens to the other 140 days that they should be working? Let's say make that 132 days so that they can't cry about it. That puts them on the same playing field with the average American worker, who works approximately 240 days, when you subtract from 365 holidays, vacations, 2 weeks vacation, and the weekends.
I work more than that.
52 weekends a year, ladies and gentlemen, means 104 days from 365. Brings it down to how many days? 261 days. 261 days. Then you take 2 weeks off for Christmas, 4 days off for Thanksgiving and Easter, 4 days off for July the 4th, and then you give them about another 5 holidays, and that should be all the days off that they get, just like the regular, standard, ordinary working person. But they have violated their fiduciary responsibility because they don't work for the people. Then another fiduciary responsibility is controlling the expenditures of this great country and not providing for waste. Everything that we are finding in this duty of this fiduciary duty of our elected officials can be brought to the courts in your district. All you have to do is file and take the time to file a lawsuit, take it to the court, and get the prosecuting attorney to file it. And if he doesn't do it, add his name to the fiduciary, responsibility or violation list. If you want to clean up your government, this is the way to do it. You can do it through the fiduciary responsibility clause. It's a long one. It is in the Bar Journal that I just read part of it to. And it involves an awful lot. But the whole thing about it is they swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And then they vote for the National Defense Authorization Act, which takes away your rights. They vote for the Patriot Act, which also takes away your rights. And then the President of the United States tries to make the churches do something that he wants them to do that violates their, how would you say, their constitutional rights to run their church in the manner in which they see fit and according to God's law, which he is not supposed to do anything. Congress shall make no law abridging religion in any way, shape, or form. You can't make a law to force it on anybody. You can't make a law to take it away from anybody. And you can't make a law to force them to change their way and their thoughts. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have the President of the United States in violation of his fiduciary responsibilities and his violation of the Constitution. Now we have both houses of Congress. And we have the state legislators and the governors. All in collusion with each other against we the people, the citizens, who pay their wages. And if you are going to sit at your table and at your TV and ignore what we have just said here on American Statesman, you really need to take a look at what patriotism is, because you apparently have no love for this country and your freedom. You have completely forgotten why you're free.
It looks like we have Nathan out here who wants to chime in.
So okay, good, Nathan. Take it off. Take
hold
me off.
That,
take it off my hands.
Nathan, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty good. I was just listening to Charlie. And I agree with him. And what the problem is, we get the leaders we deserve because it's the leaders that are training the people. I keep hearing talk radio talk about We got to get Obama out of there because of what he's doing to the economy. But Mitt Romney, he's going to do better because he's a businessman. He's rich, so I guess that means he understands the economy. But I wish these people would read the Constitution. If you read Article 1, you'll find out that the economy does not hinge on one man, the president. So it doesn't need to be hinging on Obama. And the reason it's hinging on one man, he has that much power, is because Congress doesn't read Article 1 to find out that it is Congress that governs the economy, not the president. Now, Mitt Romney, yeah, he's rich, okay? So that doesn't mean he's going to be a good president for the economy, because he did the same thing in Massachusetts to the Massachusetts economy that Obama's done to the American economy. So I wish people would quit falling for this. I have people in my life keep telling us we can't afford four more years of Obama because our economy is sinking. Well, if you would read the Constitution, and you're voting the wrong people out, you need to be voting these people in Congress out, because 93% of the Senate, yes, 93% of the Senate, that means these Tea Party Republicans that went up there in 2010 is voting with Barack Obama. I guess they didn't read Article 1. So,
they read it, but they don't study it, Nathan.
Well, the thing is, it's like, don't tell me, I keep telling people, don't tell me that Romney's going to be better with the economy, because he's only looking out for his own economy. Besides, I don't care, we don't need a businessman, we need a commander-in-chief, because the businessman in the White House is not the one who's supposed to be in control of the economy. The only reason Obama's gotten away with this mess is because of these spineless fools in Congress. They are the ones that have the control. Why are they not doing it? You know what I think is they know better. They're a part of this. That's why I will not violate.
Yeah,
that's why I will not violate my conscience and vote for any of them.
Exactly. Right now, I'm kind of curious with what's happened with Ron Paul and Rand Paul. What are you thinking about all that?
I've heard a couple. Haven't followed it close. I've heard a couple. Got a couple things across the email and talked to a couple people. They're really hurt. This is what I told somebody today that was hurt with their Rand Paul endorsing Mitt Romney. This is what I told them I did in 08. I had only two choices. I don't jump at whoever's left. Whenever in 08, whenever Tancredo dropped out, my only next choice was Duncan Hunter. When he dropped out, there was nobody for me to vote for in the presidential race. And as I looked at the rest of the races, I set the whole 08 out. I will do that. Either I will not vote for the president if these are the only two people running, or I will vote for a citizen candidate, one of these citizen candidates running for president. I'm going to look through them and pick the one that's closest to my conscience and the Constitution that I can figure out. I'll vote for him, but I don't vote for whoever can win. That doesn't make sense. And this is what I told this guy. If you're hurt by Rand Paul endorsing Mitt Romney, then they're just exploiting your love for Rand Paul or Ron Paul. I personally would not vote for him if they were trying. I don't know why you would vote for somebody, Sally, because I said I endorse him. Are you that lost that you can't make up your own mind?
Well, that's the sad part about it all, and that's why I was saying early in the show, it's like, and why I put it out there on Facebook and wherever else I posted it. Do they truly think that Rand Paul's all huppity and, you know, jumping for joy about Mitt Romney, and they think that people who are following them are the sheeple that will follow along? I mean, the people who have been supporting Ron Paul over the years were doing it because he stood for something, because he stood for some kind of principle, not because they were going after who they thought was the most popular, the popularity contest routine. So I think it's going to blow back in their face.
It's like this, Sally. If you stick a bottle of beer and a bottle of whiskey in front of a person that doesn't drink, okay, if he drinks, he's not hurting himself. He can make whatever choice he wants to live with and move on with his life. But if you take a bottle of beer and a bottle of whiskey and put it in front of somebody that doesn't drink, and you convince them that they have to make a choice, even if it's the lesser of the two, that they are being responsible. You know what? Even if they pick the lesser of the two, they've damaged their conscience. Okay?
Yep.
And because they damaged their conscience, that they're no good. They're no good. They just gave in to something they don't believe in. And that's slavery. You don't violate your conscience unless you can have someone truly show you and change your mind through real facts. Then you never do anything. Even if you're 100% wrong, don't ever violate your conscience because you're damaging your soul. And that's how they make you a slave. That's how anybody. Even if you're 100% right, but you're not sure, don't do nothing. And for them to tell you that for you to not vote, for you to sit out is a vote for Obama, I guess that assumes you're supposed, somebody else has already assumed you're supposed to vote for Mitt Romney. Do they own your vote?
They think they do, and of course, that's the whole reason why, you know, we the people versus the ballot box establishment, that's the whole reason we're doing this, is because these two parties think they own your vote. Now, I'm going to take another look at Gary Johnson. I mean, he was actually running as a Republican, but the Republican Party shunned him like some of the others. So I'm going to take another look at him, and then I'm going to look at whoever the independents are. But, you know, you people out there with the Republican Party and Rand Paul, and Ron Paul, too, as far as that goes, but Rand Paul, if you think that you're going to just get us to follow you like a bunch of sheeple, then you're going to be disappointed.
And I truly think they've
helped Obama by doing this.
Sally, we got a guy over here, Dave Weldon, Dr. Dave Weldon. He's running for Senate. I guess he's going to try to take Bill Nelson's job. Okay, Now, I'm sure he's a pretty good guy, but I have one question, and I've called last week and gave him my email and told him if he'll answer my question, told his wife, have him answer my question by email, or leave a number and a time and I can get back with him, but I got a question. In 1994, he stood on the steps and he made the pledge orally, you know, man's only as good as his word, and then on top of that, he signed his name to a contract, which means it's legally binding. But they knew nobody was going to take him to court and sue him for violating their word that they signed their name to. But he signed the contract to America, and he said he believed in term limits. But he was up there, and he said he would only be up there for two terms in 1994. And in 2008, when he left, he said the reason he was leaving is he never had any intentions of being a career politician. And now, 4 years later, he's running again. And my only question is, and I told his wife, I agree, we all change our mind. There's nothing wrong with that. We decide something, something happens, and we see something different. We change our mind. But don't you think you should at least give the people a revelation of why you changed your mind and at least help them see that you know, we all, I told him, if you give me a good explanation, I personally can give you, release you from your word. But the thing is at this point, he gave his word and didn't keep it, and that was not only his word of mouth that he's supposed to be as good as his word, but he also signs a contract that he knows nobody's going to sue him over. And now he's saying that he's running again because people are asking him. I asked the lady, can you tell me what would a marriage be like if you lived with somebody like that, or even just a friend or a neighbor who was that, just told you something, changed his mind, and never ever let you know, so you know, are they dependable? And I'm waiting. I'm trying to get in contact with him. I hope he'll call me, and we can talk. I'd like to know what his explanation is. I've changed my mind before, but I think the man's integrity hinges on it. And if that's not important to him, then we live in a day that integrity doesn't matter. And if integrity doesn't matter, then he doesn't need to be wearing his religion on his sleeve, as if that's supposed to give him a few points on being sincere and honest, because he's already proved that he's a liar. Or if he's not a liar, he needs to give him a good explanation. You at least owe, you know, it's like if you're on the way to work and you get a flat tire, okay? You call your boss and say, look, I got a flat tire, I'm running late. You know what? You still kept your word, you're still dependable. But you just don't get a flat tire and just decide to show up and not say a word and just walk in, clock in late, and expect your boss to just pretend that everything's okay. He expects you to keep his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't understand the arrogance of these politicians. And if it's not arrogance, I would like to know. You're going to ask me for your vote? Okay, well then at least treat me like and that's what I told the lady. If he can lie, okay, and it doesn't matter, then my dad owes me an apology. Because when I was a kid, he taught me not to lie. When he caught me lying, he did things not only to discipline me, but he created consequences that would put it in my conscience so that I wouldn't grow up and be a liar. And if I did lie, and when I do lie, okay, my conscience condemns me so that I can go make it right and get back on what and quit doing damage to people. Well, I don't understand how these politicians. I know if I lie, my life's ruined and down here around people I know, friends, family, the neighbors, and people at work. They can't count on you because they know you're not dependable when you can't tell the truth or at least make up for something that you did wrong.
There's no two ways about it. There's a thick box. Because what people think when they're running for public office, what they should be able to do and get away with, I mean, there's definitely a lack of any integrity, a lack of any kind of moral values. So there's no two ways about it. And the other thing that gets me is this Dave Weldon. which I'll be curious to know if you get to talk to him. But, you know, if he said he made a commitment he was going to be limited, he wasn't going to be a career politician, now he's going back out there. And if he doesn't, you know, like you say, come clean and say, but, you know, the thing to me, with that experience, what he knows about the process, he could do more good on the outside by sharing and educating what's happening and things like that to people than he could be going back into office. So, you know,
Sally, whenever Rick Keller was in, he said the same thing. He was going to be in Congress for two terms and then go home. He got up there and he changed his mind, and I talked to his aide, and I said, tell him to come back to the people and tell them why he's changed his mind and ask the people, would you give me permission and release me from my word of commitment to you? And I told him, I promise you, the people would say yes. That's an honorable man. But you know what? He ignored the people and just kept on running, and that's why even Alan Grayson could beat him, because people got so sick of him. They're tired of people being lied to. You know, the people are tired of being lied to by these people. And I really believe, I told him if he was to do that, if he was to ask the people, would they somehow or another through a poll or phone calls or something and just keep a tally and see what kind of numbers he gets and just say, would you release me from my word? And this is the reason why I decided to change and run for a third term. I said, if you know, I'll get out there and campaign for you, okay? But you're ignoring me, so I'm going to campaign against you. Come and call you, tell everybody you're a liar. You're a liar, and I would never vote for you.
Well, and that's, you're exactly right with Rick Keller. And the GOP kept backing up Rick Keller, even though people were saying we're sick of Rick Keller. Plus, he wasn't exactly what you'd call the most decent person either, with apparently what he was doing with his being married and playing around.
Okay, but see, this is the thing. This is the thing. This is the thing we got to all be careful of. And this, Rick Keller figured he was bigger than life. And this is why he – if I can sit here and tell you, Sally – or your audience, or anybody, a complete stranger, a lie. Okay, even though you're going to never catch me, if I can tell you a lie, don't think that I'm going to tell you, a stranger, a lie, and then go back into my own little world and be completely truthful to all the people close to me. It doesn't happen. If a man is telling you a lie, do not believe he goes home and he's completely truthful to his wife and kids. He's not. He can't be. You are who you are with those most intimate to you as you are with a stranger on the street. And people, I promise you, who you are there is who you are everywhere. So whenever he's sitting there and can't be honest with the people, okay, don't expect that he's going to, don't get surprised when you find out that he dumped his wife for his girlfriend.
Exactly. Charlie, are you going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm going to hang up. I'm going to hang up. I was just enjoying Charlie's rant, and this stuff just kind of bubbled up. But, yeah, I'm hoping to hear from Dave Weldon, because I do want to know, you know, why did you say this? And if you're going to run, you need to stand up and tell the people, look, I give them an explanation, or either tell them the truth and you were wrong and ask for forgiveness, and I bet that would get you who was this guy that stood before the people, the colonel, the guy that remember you played his tape a while back?
Colonel North?
No, the colonel back early in America that stood before his constituents had admitted he was wrong, and they voted him back in. Well, he died in the Alamo. David Crockett. David Crockett, because the farmer told him, you lied. You lied.
Right.
Or no, you didn't lie. You. It wasn't your money to give away. You know,
right.
That was it. It wasn't your money to give to somebody else. That there is the people's money. You give out of your own pocket. And you know what? He admitted, you know, you're right. And he stood in front of the people and said, you know, this guy's right. I was wrong. And they voted him on that. They voted. You know what? People, we all make mistakes. We all need a second chance. But when these people stand up there and they lie to you and they don't ask for a second chance, they just act like they are elite over you, you know, And I'm going to tell you what, listen, if this does not hurt you and you can just fall right in line, then you got a problem. You're living in abusive relationships with people. And I know you don't see a relationship with your politician, but if your politician can talk you into doing something that demeans your respect, they've got you and they've disrespected you. They can tell you something you know ain't true, but you believe you got to vote for this guy to keep this guy. You know, you don't have to bow down to any of these people who think they're better than you, especially when they're lying. You know, when this is the whole problem. People need to have respect for themselves. If they have respect for themselves, then they'll have respect for others, and then you know there won't be so much treating people like they are nobody. But yet you have to vote for me.
Well,
you know.
And I truly believe that is so much key to this. If Americans would start voting for America, get away from the stupid mentality of these two parties to think that you have to do, that the parties know better, that they're the ones who, you know, that we're too stupid, we're a bunch of sheeple out here and don't have a brain, even though they're dumbing down of us.
I wish these people would read the Constitution. You know, listen, the primaries, Noah Webster's dictionary, nowhere in the dictionary of the day that when this America was founded, Noah's dictionary and the word primary meant exactly what it means. Primary means original or beginning or the first part of something. Like if you want to get educated, you got to get your primary education before you get your elementary or secondary education. Okay, we've been taught that primaries in the Constitution is what the two major parties use to decide who their candidate's going to be. But if you read Article 2, the primary is exactly what it is. It's the beginning, the first wave of elimination of candidates. That means all candidates, not just two parties, but all the candidates and all the parties that want to put their people up. They get in this and they have the first wave. What we call a general really should be called the final, because on the day of the general, at the end of the day, we know who won that seat. But there's still another election because we get to vote, and if they read the Constitution, we get to vote for the electors, and then the electors on the president has another election. That means there's not just whoever won on what we call the general today. Well, if whoever won in that election, there's still other candidates standing up there to see who that they're going to vote for, and the one who gets the most votes, and this is in the Constitution, the one that gets the most votes is going to be the president. And then they have another election and for the vice president. And out of all the candidates, you know, and the thing is I hear people, I know a couple guys that teach the Constitution, and they keep disagreeing with me, and I ask them, will you copy and paste it and send it to me out of the Constitution, and they can't. And all you got to do is read Article 2. It's there. It's
right
there. You know, and the thing is they're teaching us they're teaching us what they've learned out of history, but we don't make a oath to the history, to the Federalist Papers or anybody's speeches or anybody's, you know, it's like what you were talking about with separation of church and state with the state. You know, the guy that made the statement of separation in church and state, the people of that day, they heard it and they felt peace of mind. We ain't got to worry about it. Okay, but if he knew, with hindsight being 2020, if he knew then how it would be misused, that phrase would be used, he would say what was in the Constitution, and that is a separation of lawmaker and the issue of religion, the subject of religion. The Congress makes the laws. They cannot touch they can't make any laws for or against religion. So if they can't make any laws for or against religion, then the courts can't rule on what the Congress can't make a law about. They just leave religion alone. Leave them alone. Let them go do if one religion wants to teach.
That's right.
You just,
yeah. That's why the Supreme Court erred when they ruled in favor of Madeleine Murray O'Hare.
Yeah.
because
yeah, well,
they should never have ruled on that, because there is no law. Congress can make no law abridging the freedom of religion, and therefore that means the Supreme Court had no right to overturn or say no prayer in school. And besides that, the schools are owned by we the people.
Well, one person
should never have been given the authority or the right to go ahead and knock prayer out of school. It should have at least been put on the ballot.
I disagree with that, because if prayer was not a rule, it was not a law, it was a way of life from the founding of this country. It was just the way people were. You know, people, whether they were religious or not, they were respectful and bowed their head and prayed and lifted their head and played
That's
baseball
right.
or ate.
So what it is one woman went ahead and took away the people's rights to pray wherever they wanted to pray, and to pay their respects to God wherever they wanted to. And the ACLU is still trying to do the same thing, and that is a violation of the freedom of religion.
That's okay, Charlie, because the Muslims, they're going to restore prayer for us. They're going to have us every day, about four times a day, throwing our rug down and pointing towards the east. You know, these people, they don't want prayer in school. Now they'll have it. You know, because they're not involved.
That's right. I mean, we are our own worst enemies when it comes to trying to uphold all the laws of the land. But however, getting back on what we've been doing now, Sally and I filed that complaint with the FBI. Now, we need your help, and I know you got a lot of people on your email list. We need to get the word about fiduciary responsibility out there and say there is a violation of it with Senator Harry Reid. And if we concentrate on Senator Harry Reid in regards to the budget, we can then go after a lot of other things too, because Congress themselves, the Democrats, all of them, failed to vote on the budget. Three years. I mean, that means we have the whole kit and caboodle in violation of the Constitution of the United States, which is grounds for dismissal. Because they failed in their fiduciary responsibility to we the people. And that is a criminal offense, according to the courts. It just depends on how they look at the fiduciary. But
yeah.
The fiduciary has to be in there, because that would be the same thing like, I'm going to trust you, Nathan, to drive my load from point A to point B. And I'm going to pay you $500 for that. And you say, okay, Charlie, I'm going to do that. I give you the $500 because I know my stuff is going to get there and I don't have to worry about it. But then you decide to go to point B on the way, and you delay getting my stuff there in a reasonable time. You violated your fiduciary responsibility to me. I can come after you for all of that money, plus all of your expenses and everything else. And if I lose anything, I could sue you because you accepted a fiduciary responsibility to represent me by getting my stuff from point A to point B.
Hold that thought for just a second there. Doreen was chiming in. I think she had a question or a comment for
Nathan.
Okay,
I'm going to drop off, Sally, but I'm going to keep going.
No, stay there.
Well, hold on just in case Doreen wanted to comment. She first was chiming in when you were talking. So, hey, Doreen, you're on the air.
I was listening to that conversation, and I was waiting because I have a letter here, Sally, that you will love. I'm going to forward it to you. I'm not going to read it.
Read it.
You want to hear it?
Well, if you're going to forward it, read it so other people get to hear it.
Okay. This is a friend of mine, and she is ranting as loudly as Sally was the first regarding Rand Paul and Ron Paul. And
wrong?
I have you excerpts of it because this is just unreal.
Okay, yeah. Give us the good excerpts.
Okay. Senator Paul, this is to Rand Paul. It's an open letter. I don't understand what happened. Were you bribed, threatened? Something has changed. You went from a freedom fighter to a fascist supporter. Where did this man go? And there is a link to a YouTube. First, the alarm bells went off when you endorsed Ted Cruz. What? His wife is a member of the anti-American group CFR. Both you and your dad know the damage the CFR has done the Americans. Please don't waste the time telling me that Heidi S. Cruz pulled her membership. It's amazing she did that whenever Ted Cruz decided he was going to run for Senate. And then I'm going to go down and then Senator Paul, you announced support for Connie Mack. Are you kidding me? Has someone gotten to you? You had the backup of millions of Americans who are now watching your metamorphosis to one of them. Surely you're aware that Mack just voted on May 18th against the Smith/Amish amendment to restore Fourth Amendment rights back to the NDAA bill, also known National Defense Detainment Act. Please read that again. Connie Mack signed against restoring our Fourth Amendment's rights. Ron Paul, your dad voted for the amendment and Connie Mack voted against it. And now you, Senator Paul, announce your support for Connie Mack. All right, we go down and she has listed everything that Connie Mack has voted for or against that would cost us money in the way of earmarks and so forth. It says, are you coming out and endorsing Senator Bill Nelson next? And now, Senator Paul, the third strike. You announced support for Romney. Are you kidding me? Senator, you had the freedom and choice not to endorse anyone. Or didn't you? Sir, respectfully, you just turned your father into a laughingstock. Endorsing Romney, who destroyed Massachusetts, Romney, whose father was not an American citizen by a Mexican citizen, but a Mexican citizen, doesn't he have dual citizenship? Is this why the Republicans don't challenge the issue with BHO? I'm going to go down a little bit further. She goes on and on about Romney and everything, you know, he's done. Senator Palm, make sure you show this to Senator DeMint and Rubio, for that matter, who we also know both voted against our Fourth Amendment rights when they voted for the NDAA amendment and against your amendment and the UDAL amendment that both tried to restore our Fourth Amendment rights. And while you're at it, you can tell the Senate and the House and BHO all bills that are passed against the Constitution are unconstitutional. Today is a sad day for America. One of the true patriots joined the other side. Sorry to see you go, but know this. The American people have woken up. And we, the people, are going to lead this country, for your leaders have ceased to lead, except for leading us into debt, poverty, and communism. There is no such thing as socialism, for it is the sugar that makes the medicine go down. Socialism's goal is to lead the communism, and when that fails, they back it up with fascism. How do you look in the mirror? How do you tell your children that you chose not to support freedom and liberty? And one more paragraph. Senator Paul, you are now in the pile with DeMint, Rubio, McCain, Graham, and all the others who now accept Lee and Johnson. You have lost respect of Americans, and I pray to God that with the help of your decisions that we won't lose America to the communists. Now I'm going to quit there.
Good. Now, yeah. Doreen?
Yes?
We're getting more and more information on fiduciary responsibility. And let me tell you, if you can get that word out there to your friend that just wrote you that letter, tell her to look up fiduciary responsibility. And also, we got the Florida Bar Journal.
Mm-hmm.
It's under floridabar.com, I think it is. Let me see. Hold on. I've got it right here. So let me pull it up, and I'll let you know, make sure.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a Florida Bar Journal, and it's okay. And it's under www.floridabar.org.
Okay.
Floridabar.org. And it's 17 pages. But it says Florida Bar Journal, Understanding Fiduciary Duty. It's very interesting. A lot of it pertains to Florida. However, it's very interesting in that the fiduciary is the person who promises to do Doreen, a citizen, the right kind of a job for it that will make her happy and not cost her a lot of money and not take away her freedoms or violate her constitutional rights. When they violate that, they have violated their fiduciary responsibility to you and to everybody else. Now, Sally and I just came on to this about a little over a week, right now, Sally?
Yeah, a couple of weeks, yep. A
couple of weeks, okay, from a friend of ours, Tom. And I've been working on it. Sally's been, we've been brainstorming it and all this type of thing, and came up with something that's quite interesting that just reminded me on the news the other night. It's been 3 years since our Congress has approved the budget. It's been presented to them, and the Republicans voted for a budget and presented it to Harry Reid, who's been sitting on it for 3 years.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, they've been using ways to swing around and avoid using the budget restraints, such as executive orders and just going ahead and appropriating the TARP, the stimulus bill one or whatever it is, and, you know, Obamacare.
They have some other resolution they use, too, to continue.
And resolutions,
some
right.
Yeah.
Okay. All of that is a violation of the fiduciary responsibility to we the people to uphold the Constitution. Now they have voted on the NDAA, which is a violation of our rights. I don't care what they say in writing and all this, but there is one thing about the Constitution that is absolutely wonderful. They shall hold their offices during good behavior. However, and that's what happens with the Supreme Court justices and all justices. But there's one that also says, officers of the United States, all civil officers, you know, president, vice president, Congress, and all civil officers shall, except for, they can be impeached for, they can be removed from office on impeachment, comma, for felony, breach of the peace, misdemeanor, or, you know, or other high crimes and misdemeanors or something like that. And therefore, fiduciary responsibility and a violation thereof is a criminal offense. So that would have to fall under at least the category of misdemeanor or breach of the peace, which is a violation of the Constitution and calls for removal from office on impeachment for. We do not have to impeach them first. We have to get them on the criminal charge first, which means a court. We need to get somebody who is a go-getter to file lawsuits regarding this fiduciary violation. And all we have to do is get one of them approved. And if a judge in any one of the federal courts says we don't have status or stature, we are the citizens of the United States, we are the taxpayers, and therefore we do have stature because we are the government, according to the Constitution. And then that judge should be added to the fiduciary violation list and taken out. And I'm telling you, we just need some people who have the guts to go ahead and do it. Now, you're in Texas. Texas is big, and you're close to Sheriff Mack. I bet you Sheriff Mack would love to take that fiduciary responsibility and file a charge in federal court with it, because he could do it. Joe Arpaio could do it.
Not while he's running for Congress, I doubt, but anyway.
Well, no, I tell you what, I bet you Sheriff Mack would do it, for the good of this country, or have one of his deputies do it. It doesn't have to be the sheriff. It can be a sheriff's deputy with a bunch of people who say, let's do it, just like Joe Arpaio did.
Well, it can be a citizen, anybody that's a backer.
That's right. What I'm saying is if you go through the sheriff's office and you file an original complaint with them, then that causes it to be forced into the, how would you say, the investigation end of it. Sally and I went to the FBI. We haven't heard a word from them. Not even that they were looking at it.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me either.
But we figure that they've been getting a lot of calls, and we need people to continue to call. Continue
right.
to call the FBI office, your local office, the Orlando Maitland office. Do not let this fall through the cracks. And, I mean, just like I was talking about at the beginning of the show, I've been talking to other people who are trying to run for office, and they can't run for office because the system is so corrupt. And it's the people that are in public office that are killing this country. So what are we going to do to stop the process, stop the bleeding, which is to clean up the elections? One other thing I wanted to make sure I mentioned, because I heard it just before the show, it was apparently, if I understood it correctly, the Supreme Court refused to hear the case about Obama's eligibility. So the Supreme Court has said it's okay to be an illegal president, from
wait,
what I took of.
Which yeah. Supreme Court?
The U.S. Supreme Court. Because there had been the various challenges to Obama's eligibility.
Oh, okay.
And again, I heard this just before the show. Yeah.
Well, that's that one case. That's the one case. That is not the Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe's case.
That's what
that
I was.
Is one case. But that is, you know, they can go ahead and deny a case based on technical.
Well, that case had been docketed. When did they decide not to see it?
Well,
I was hearing this today. It was just I heard a blip on it just before the show, and I'm gonna, while you guys are talking, I'll try to take another look and see if I can find anything
yeah.
else on it.
But the
yeah,
thing
because
is,
I was just reading where an Indiana court is going to hear.
Yeah.
Arlie Cates is going to be in Indiana, and she's flying in. That was something else I wanted to tell you. She has subpoenaed Sheriff Joe, who's going to be there, Barack Obama, and a couple of other people. I don't remember who they were. I'm not looking at it right now. Anyway, that is taking place this week.
Well, let me
in
tell
Indiana.
You about all these things that are happening now.
Indiana and Arizona Secretary of State, she subpoenaed to be there.
Okay. All of these things that are happening now, the Supreme Court doesn't have to really take that because I believe the Supreme Court knows that the states can go ahead and do it themselves. The state of Florida can turn around and say Barack Obama is not on the list, going to be on the ballot in the state of Florida because he has not proven to the state of Florida that he is indeed a born in America citizen. And the thing is, they can do that. The Secretary of State in the state of Arizona could be removed from office by the governor and a replacement put in there who will go ahead and do the same thing. Now, the Supreme Court, there are so many cases on this situation regarding Barack Obama's eligibility that the Supreme Court, there's one that was going up there for them to hear. Now, maybe that person did not have quite the stature that the right to do it as much as Sheriff Joe Arpaio has.
Well, the case going before the Supreme Court has plenty of stature, and I don't.
Okay.
Was it the U.S. Supreme Court or was it Supreme Court
hold
in
on a
second.
State? Yeah. Let me go ahead and give you this. Excuse me, Doreen. I just went ahead. This is over on the Blaze, theblaze.com. Supreme Court refused the birth certificate case. This is June 11th. This was posted at 7 p.m. And I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read the first part. The Supreme Court, the only legal authority with the power to directly interpret the United States Constitution, has refused to hear an appeal challenging President Barack Obama's U.S. citizenship and his eligibility to serve as Commander-in-Chief. Without comment, the High Court on Monday refused to hear an appeal from Alan Keyes, Wiley Drake and Markham Robinson. Markham Robinson. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the challengers did not have legal standing to file the lawsuit at that time. The Los Angeles Times, blah, blah. Anyway, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, they were declared not to have it, so they appealed it to the Supreme Court, and therefore the Supreme Court is saying they're agreeing with the lower court. That's case number one. There are so many cases going up there that when Joe Arpaio goes there with his evidence, I think that would really be something. But also, with the state of Florida having a meeting, when is it? Tomorrow? Tomorrow, isn't it, Sally, in Leon County? Regarding
Obama's, I thought it was the 18th. For some reason,
or maybe the
18th.
They're doing it in Florida. There are some states that are not going to allow him to be on there, even though they may have judges, because it's all up to the Secretary of State of each state to say yes or no. But the biggest thing about that, too, Doreen, is the fiduciary responsibility of the Secretary of State of each state to properly vet the President of the United States or the candidate. That is their responsibility on a state basis. They could be in violation of their fiduciary duty if they did not do and see an original birth certificate, which has not been produced by the state of Hawaii. They can also go there because Barack Obama, on his first entry into the office of the president, was to go ahead and secure all of his personal information in school, all of his writings and everything else, so people would not get to know just what kind of a president they voted into office. This should have all been done by the Democrat Party and the Republican Party prior to his even being accepted to run for office as a candidate. And they didn't do it because they wanted a black man to be the president of the United States. And so they happened to select somebody who does not believe in the United States and our capitalistic way of living. They want to change it to the communist way, which has fallen dead in communist Russia. The communist way of life is strictly a dictatorship, and that is not what America is all about. So the Democrat Party, whoever the people were on the vetting committee, failed to vet. They have violated the fiduciary responsibility. Therefore, a lawsuit regarding fiduciary responsibility for the vetting of the president should be filed against the Democrat Party and the Republican Party of both the House of Representatives and the Senate and each and every Secretary of State, regardless of their party affiliation. And when we, the people, start getting up in arms and doing that in each of our states, then something will get done. Because that's the way we're going to have it. And then if we don't have a court system that backs us up and they do not uphold the honest intent of the Constitution, I'm afraid we're going to wind up going back to the six gun. Because that's what it's going to take. And there are plenty of six guns all over this place. 23 million veterans. Plus you have all the wonderful rednecks, hunters, and everything else who didn't serve this country but do have guns. If Japan would not come after the United States in 1941 because they knew we had over 2 million guns in four states, I don't think it'd be wise for anybody else to try to take us over either, because that's when I think that those American flags are going to be flying high on everybody's house, and I would pity those that come after us.
Well, I'll tell you got to think, I don't know what it's going to take, what's going to happen to wake up people enough to take action. And I have a lot of concern for whether the judicial process is going to do anything it's supposed to be. We know the media is always in the pocket of the politicians, but the process has been so corrupt. And, you know, going back to this military thing, now here, from the stuff I was hearing earlier, I was talking about the Russian military on U.S. soil. Some of that was in Colorado, where that was being reported. And then there was also something else right here in Tampa, where there's some military base that they're using to train foreign military to combat the people here. And I'll tell you, I don't know what I've said all along, or I said, well, I don't know how long ago I've been saying it, but it's going to be our military that's going to protect us from this government. And now we have to, they're doing everything they can to destroy our military while they build up another military to take over us. I mean, I don't think it's a pretty future for what's going to happen on this homeland. I really don't. It seems like the government is declaring war on the American people.
Now that's treason.
Go ahead.
That is treason. That is treason to even train people on American soil with the intent of turning them against we the people. That is treason.
And
that means everybody in Congress, everybody in Congress is involved in it.
But that's my point. Right now, who do we have protecting us?
You can't trust anybody. We don't know of a single judge. Look at all this stuff with Obama. Every state, there's at least 15 or 20 states that we know of, I have them all listed, that have these cases against Obama that have gone before the election board, so forth and so on. We haven't found the first silly damn judge or secretary of state that will stand up and do their job. So if you can't find a judge, now you've got the Supreme Court saying, well, we're not going to listen to this thing. Because you've got Secretary of State's out there, and the Secretary of State's out there is sitting and saying, well, it's not my job.
Well, it's there. That's
just
what
like
I'm
in Florida, you know, the Secretary of State there says, well, it's not my job. I don't have the power to do that. Who in the hell are we supposed to trust in the court systems?
Well, the only way we can find out some of this stuff, Doreen, is to start filing cases to see just where they go, like we did it with the FBI. Now, the FBI did a beautiful job up in Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, Ohio, and they got 35 indictments against this one guy that was a commissioner, and he was full of bribes and everything else.
Yeah,
but
that's
see,
a commissioner.
That was local.
That's not going against the federal government.
No, that was local. But see, now Sally and I are going against the elected officials here in the state of Florida that could reach out into the feds. And maybe that's why the FBI doesn't want to touch it, because they see that the outcome could be where we're going after honesty in our government, which is what the Constitution calls for. The Constitution was not designed for devil's advocates, but that's what we have.
I know that.
Yep.
I'm sitting here reading, and this will fit right in with you. I'm sitting here reading a comment by... another friend of mine, that a person came up to her talking about all the bumper stickers that are on the windshields, they are windows and all over a car and everything. And this guy came up and wanted to know, or this girl came up and wanted to know, you know, why was he so she's so upset? And she says, well, you don't have enough time. And she says, well, cut it down for me. And this is because this is talking about Rand Paul, and you know what he's done, and she states, you know, Rand Paul is an individual and he has a right to his own opinion, and to do whatever he wants. But we can all think for ourselves. Just because Rand Paul says he endorses Mitt Romney doesn't mean we all have to fall in line and do the same thing. And it says. And she came up with this brainstorm. And she said, before I go any further, I'd like to provide you with three statements from the Supreme Court rulings. The first is from the case of Martin versus Hunters, Lee C. in 1816, and states, the Constitution was written to be understood by the voters. Its words and phrases were used in their normal and ordinary as distinguished from technical meaning, where the intention is clear. There is no room for construction and no excuse for interpolation or addition. The second is from the case of Powell versus McCormick, 1969, and states, the value of the framers of the Constitution must be applied in any case construing the Constitution. Inferences from the text and history of the Constitution should be given great weight in discerning the original understanding and in determining the intentions of those who ratified the Constitution. The precedental value of cases and commentators tends to increase, therefore in proportion to their proximity to the adoption of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or any other amendments. And finally, Ex parte Milligan, 1866, we read, the Constitution of the United States is a law for rulers and people, equally in war and in peace, and covers with the shield of its protection all classes of men at all times and under all circumstances. No doctrine involving more pernicious consequences was ever invented by the wit of men than that any of its provisions can be suspended during any of the great exigencies of government, such as doctrine leads directly to anarchy or despotism. I butchered that word. Despotism.
Okay, despotism.
Yeah. And from what I can get from that is the Constitution is the Constitution. He doesn't care what kind of amendments or anything else they write. They can't tear it up because it's still the Constitution.
That's right. The Constitution is the law of the land, and it all points to that. And the whole thing about it is they seem to try to circumvent the issue, but basically our Supreme Court has been, like in most cases, saying you cannot deviate from the Constitution, but there has been room for interpretation when it is basically you can't take away the rights of the people. Now the thing is the NDAA takes away our rights and so does the Patriot Act. But see, there's one thing about the Constitution. Congress is not going to do anything about the bills that they make. It's we the people that have to contest them. The Supreme Court cannot do anything until we contest them. Now, if we contest them here, like Sally's and my, we the people versus the ballot box establishment, I'm not worried about the FBI. If the FBI doesn't come through, Sally and I have every right to go to the federal court and file it. It's going to cost us money. But for this great country, we're going to have to do it. And we'll have to do it out of our pocket if it's necessary, but we can file it. Now, if we come across a judge that says we don't have stature, then that judge has violated our constitutional rights. And then he is involved in litigation because we have a right to sue him. He is not above the law because the Constitution so says that. They will be held in office during good behavior. Bad behavior is when he violates the rights of the people.
What I was going to say, and this goes into why Wednesday's show is going to be important and some of the others, is that the thing, you know, we're talking about the Constitution, and there's one part of the Constitution, and I have to go read it. It was something I got through the email either yesterday or today, where it talks about from a certain point on, certain article, and I think it's Article 5, but from that point on, it only applies to a U.S. citizen. And then we go back into this definition of what a U.S. citizen is and what part of the Constitution applies. And I tell you, that's why I'm telling you, I think we're in – I think this government is a fraud. And I mean, again, the government by deceit is going to be an interesting discussion. Because what do we even have a clue what our rights truly are under this Constitution? How have they manipulated this Constitution of the what citizenship means, U.S. corporation versus the state corporation? And someplace out there you could actually be charged with a felony if you said you were a U.S. citizen but you didn't actually live in D.C. and all these other this craziness that's out there. It sounds, in theory, what you're saying all sounds 100% and sounds like this is what it should be. But at the same time, with some of this other stuff I'm learning, I'm like, I don't know what we have anymore. I don't have a massive identity crisis of what being an American citizen is.
What we have going are a bunch of people who are upset with the way the honest intent of the Constitution. and they think it should read what they want it to do. And these are mostly liberal people. The liberal people want anything and everything for everybody at a cost of everybody. Well, you can't get everybody to work, so therefore only the workers are going to be able to provide for the non-workers. And if, let's say, those people are not liberal, but they're conservative, but they just don't want to work. Now, all of a sudden, there's people out there making laws to try to make it easier for those who don't want to work at the cost of those who are willing to work. And now what we have is constantly these bills going in there for interpretation, and they only go so far up the ladder, and they become a law by, how would you say, failure to be approved, just like the president doesn't have to approve something, and after so many days, it becomes a law because Congress passed it. Well, the thing is the whole thing about the Constitution, and I've heard this from so many people, is that it was there to protect we the people, and it is indeed an honest document. And because we have 56 founders and 52 of them believed in God or were devout Christians, they use God's word to help develop this country, and we have a lot of, we have maybe at least, what, 10 to 14% who don't believe in God. And they're the ones that are trying to bring this country down to their way of thinking because they're devil's advocates. And that's what we have. And we have devil's advocates in Washington, as far as I'm concerned. Because
the devil's advocates are both Christian and non-Christian.
Oh, definitely.
I got that. We've talked about,
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that. Yeah, there's devil's advocates are those who have turned and jumped on the devil's side because they think they can make more money that way and do have their fun and do whatever it is. And then maybe later on they'll turn back into being decent Christians and believing in God after they find out they've made a big doo-doo. But the thing is the Constitution was designed to protect us from those actions, but now we got too many people in Washington who are ignoring the honest intent of the Constitution and allowing these things to go. And then we have a complacent citizenry. And with only maybe 3, 4, or 5% who are seeing what's going on and we're willing to speak up about it. And that's like the GO process, SaveAmericaFoundation.com, you know, the Oath Keepers and Judicial Watch and all those others. I'm saying we're working on it, but we got to indoctrinate the other people. And so many of them think because they got their paycheck coming, their EBT cards and everything else, everything's hunky-dory. Well, somehow we have to get people in government to say, nope, all EBT cards are no longer valid. Get rid of them. Boy, that would really put a damper on a lot of people's lifestyles. They'll have to go to work or they have to start paying, realize that their money that they've been saving is going to go down the tubes, just like mine is. When we the people don't get a cost of living adjustment for 2 years or 3 years because of the Democrats being in office, but yet Congress gets their cost of lifestyle adjustment, there's something wrong with everybody in Congress because they are violating their fiduciary responsibility to we the people, because a cost of living adjustment is to bring people who are near poverty up to a more livable wage. It is not, a COLA is not for people making over $30,000. It is not for them to get more money into their pocket. It is for the people who need money to help them get up, like the increase in gas prices and everything else. But no, we got idiots in Washington who are so rich, they don't realize that there are people who live on less than $25,000 or $30,000 and they're struggling. Because we have ignorance in Washington and ignorance in our elected officials. And that is the problem we have, and that is where the fiduciary responsibility comes in, because they should know the problems that are incurred by the people of all wage brackets, whether they're making wages or not. In other words, they should even know what's going on with the homeless. But they don't, because they don't get out of their ivory towers to find out things. They've been appointed because they were so high in the business deal. Well, when you're up in the business deal, like an accountant or the vice president or something like that of a company, you have no idea what it's like for the janitor or somebody, some part-time employee working for you.
Well,
because you're way up at the top.
Yeah, but when it comes to these elected public servants who claim don't know what's going on, and I mean you've actually touched on a couple of different things, which some actually overlap and somewhat contradict what the role of government should be in this stuff. But the point is, it's not that they don't know what's going on with the middle class or when it comes to the COLA stuff, and it's not that they don't know; they don't care. And, you know, in reference to, yes, we are one nation under God, and it was because of having sound, having beliefs, having moral beliefs of a greater creator, and that
right.
we believed in some kind of ethics and integrity and moral values is what made us as successful as we are today, or what made this country to be. However, it goes back to the basic, my beliefs. Greed is definitely the root of all evil, and these same people who go to, very, very few people who are elected to public office today do not get at least one picture taken during their campaign in front of a church.
No.
They all claim to be holier than thou, they all claim to be these good Christian people, and this and that, while they go in there and they kill and destroy this country. And so when it comes to right now, you could probably trust an atheist more than you can trust some of these so-called Christians
right.
that are in office today that are truly the evil doers. And I prefer to call them evil doers because that's to me what they're doing is evil. And it's even more evil if you claim and profess to be a Christian while you go in there just they are doing. And so that's really my point. They, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to believe that they're ignorant. It's not that they don't know. It's that they don't care. They are not there for the people. They're a bunch of sleazy, scumbag politicians. Nothing else.
I agree with you.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, you know, we were talking about the military. The other thing that's really interesting, and, I mean, I've been watching over the weekend and some on this morning as well, the media totally, totally ignores Bilderberg. Bilderberg, which, by the way, Mitt Romney was there. Per Alex Jones, he was saying that Mitt Romney did attend Bilderberg. And this revelation that Rand Paul was going to support Romney was all after Bilderberg. And you just have to wonder why this media, how corrupt this media is when they don't report what Bilderberg is. And Bilderberg is one of the massive overtakes of this country. And yet we've got people, governors from all over the place, Mitt Romney out there, who wants to be the next president, is in there supporting Bilderberg. I mean, it's treason all over the place. And, again, this is why I'm saying the fall of the nation. The end of innocence, okay, people, have we woken up? The end of innocence, do we have a clue what's going on here? Do we not realize it? And then the fall of the nation, even if we've woken up enough, even if enough of us have woken up, and we want to go seek the legal remedy, which my understanding for the fiduciary laws, you would be taking that action in civil court against the individual who has violated that trust, and you would show punitive damages. And I don't think it takes much. Just go out there and calculate part of your income tax or the various sales taxes you pay and things like that, put a value on quality of life and loss of freedom. To put a monetary sum on it, from a legal perspective, I think we've got the case. Almost everybody who's in public office, you could go after because they violated their right, their duty, to for what they've been entrusted to do. Who have any knowledge of any military on this soil, or anywhere on the planet, really, as far as that goes, if you are a public servant in either, and I don't care whether it's at the state level or the federal level, if you know that the government is literally building a military defense, a military, to defeat you, we the people, to take down the people of this country, in our own country, against our own military, that's treason. I don't care where you're at. But these people are doing this to us. So,
right.
I mean, are we going to be able, is the system too corrupt to correct that problem? And that's why I say the fall of the nation. So the fall of the nation may be here upon us right now, and there's no turning back.
Well,
anything left then, what do we have to do to get back to the core of what the Constitution is supposed to be about? And this definition of what citizenship, because, you know, they played games with citizenship and they've been doing it all because of Obama trying to, because truthfully, Mitt Romney isn't eligible to be the president and neither is Rubio, if that matters. But it seems like no one cares. The Constitution means nothing. So
it apparently means nothing to the Republican hierarchy.
Or the Democrats. Well,
I've been for years asking myself, how in the hell does the Supreme Court rule in favor of Madeleine O'Hare? How does the Supreme Court do that? And, you know, I just had a light bulb moment. You know, I call them brain farts. I'm sitting here listening. We're all talking about how far the hell back then they were already putting judges in that were going to support this tyranny. That's how it happened. I think if we'd been paying attention, if back then when this happened, if we had known what the UN had planned for us, we could have stopped it. And it's taken me years to become bright enough for that light bulb to go off or that fart to build up big enough in my brain to where I figured out what in the hell was going on. And the more I think about it, the madder I get.
It probably started with H.W. Bush, because I understand that he's the one that signed on with the United Nations.
No, this started back before Bush. Who was in office when the Supreme Court sided with O'Hare?
That was 1956.
Who was in office? Was it 56?
Yep, I think so.
Well, I'm thinking it was a little bit later than that.
Well, Eisenhower is the one who first warned us about this military-industrial complex thing, which was all part of this Agenda 21, One World,
right,
whatever.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, nobody ever talks about him. But Eisenhower was the last true, and I mean true, T-R-U-E, true.
Patriot.
A half-assed, not a part, patriot. He rounded up hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants and shipped their butts out of the United States. That man did what it took to support this country, and not a president after him has done that. They can say what they want to about Reagan. I don't care. The man opened up our borders. He laid the borders wide open and said, y'all come.
Yep, because
go ahead.
They did the amnesty thing, but then they didn't close the borders like they promised.
Well, that's when they came up with this fake Social Security card, the green one that they can give them to work on the farms and all this crap.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so what kind of a damn, you know, they say what they want to about Ronald Reagan. No, he may not have done as much to harm us in other ways, but he opened the borders up. He opened his arms up and said, y'all come take it.
Right.
Wasn't it him that closed down where the Ellis Island?
Boy, that's a tourist attraction now.
Yeah, but wasn't it Reagan in Reagan's era when they closed it down? It was in the 60s.
I can't remember. That would be about right, I guess.
You know, so to me, he hurt us, you know, as much, maybe not quite as much, as any of the other presidents have. He just did it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of it has to do, too, with the advisors behind him, because there's a lot that, you know, we have these people that we elect to office. But then somehow I believe they're tied to what they call the Trilateral Commission. supposedly the Rockefellers and really the high bigwigs and everything else who are pushing all the buttons and they've got all the money and they put things in there like they control all the media and all these other underlings and all that, like Immolt and all that. They're just kind of doing the job that they're told to do. And
well,
the Trilateral Commission is the one that is like trying to own the world.
Okay,
well,
just so you know, it was President Johnson. However, in 1965, President Johnson, he was the one who actually closed it, I think.
Okay. I knew it was
what?
Back in there somewhere. It doesn't surprise me.
Ellis Johnson. Island, yeah.
He did it.
And he's the one that opened up the welfare situation.
Yeah.
He's the one that started giving all this free food to people so they don't have to work anymore.
Yeah, it comes back to common sense. Where in the hell is common sense? Are they all sitting on it?
Yeah, you can't teach common sense. You have to learn it. And you won't learn it if you don't work. And you aren't responsible for yourself because you're always relying on the government. So you have
your parents have to teach you how to use your head for common sense. Like my dad, it took me years to figure out what now. And now I guess I was in my 30s when I finally figured it out. If I did something that was dumb, my dad always say, "Doreen, use your head for something besides a damn hat rack."
I never could
figure out what he was talking about. And then one day, I had another brain fart and I figured it out.
That's right. Your brain got cleared. Yep, you had a good one. Happens to all of us.
Okay.
just like I was told, too, that, you know, I think it was Neil Bortz made a remark, or somebody on Neil Bortz said, a student, we allow them to vote at the age of 18 because they can enter the service. But basically, your mind doesn't really start working in the right direction until you're in your 20s, like 25 or something like that, to where you really get a concept on all that you've learned and what the life is all about.
Well,
so
I don't know who said that, but I'm going to put a hat on and I'm going to call myself a professional at this.
Yeah.
Their brains don't start working there. They reach about 32, 33, somewhere in there. Then the gears start moving.
Oh, that's when you find out all the mistakes you made from the earlier part. That's the second part of
the
brain
thing. Well, that's when your parents quit being dumbasses that don't know anything and become people that you might consider thinking about some of the things they taught you. But then that really doesn't hit till you hit your late 30s, early 40s.
Right.
And my children fell right in line with that, and I just kept telling myself, just wait. If you can make it till they hit 35, you'll survive all this.
And you did it. Apparently you did it.
Well, no, they're not through figuring it all out, and they're in their late 40s, but I'll survive it any damn way. I'm that hard-headed.
That's right. Well, yeah, I mean, you've made it. You let them worry about themselves. As long as they're not still tied to the apron strings, you're okay.
Oh, no. I cut those. It took a pair of wire cutters to do it, but I cut them.
I know. There's so many women that let them reattach, and then they can never get rid of them.
Well, I had to do it for self-preservation, so.
right.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, let's see here. We're getting down to
another announcement. Make the announcements about what's going on, because we've got that West Side Tea Party that you and I still got to decide if we're going to go to that tomorrow.
Yeah, West Orlando Tea Party in Winter Garden. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. And good old Congressman Dan Webster to be there. Oh, yeah, my bud.
You know, I don't think he's going to do a darn thing for us, although he's a servant. And the only thing I was thinking is presenting him with the copies of the complaint and say, deliver this to Boehner and deliver this one to Harry Reid, and put our names and our phone numbers on the outside of a brown envelope and say, have them get in touch with us immediately concerning the inside information inside? Before we, otherwise we will take the action necessary. I think that would probably be a nice thing to do. But then that means you and I have to be ready and have our thoughts in gear between now and tomorrow as to what we would do.
Yeah, we can talk about what we want to plan for tomorrow.
Yep, we'll have to do that. Okay.
Yeah, as if we're going to go. You know, part of me wants to go, and like I say, I want to go say hi to my good old friend, my congressman who, you know, Rhino Congressman, Dan Webster.
Yeah.
What was the other thing? Oh, Wednesday show. Make sure you tune in Wednesday at 9 p.m. for a special show, Government by Deceit, and Are You Really a U.S. Citizen? We're going to talk about government by deceit, and we've talked about it a lot here tonight, but we're going to get in more to the nitty-gritty of what this government really is, who it is it really us, who, you know, everything that's going on, and then Are You Really a U.S. Citizen, which all ties into government by deceit, how they have manipulated the Constitution, how they have, how they're manipulating the Constitution as we speak to try and say Obama's eligible to be the president and Mitt Romney's eligible to be the president, I mean, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to make sure that everybody tunes into that. And I'm real curious of people what happens in the next few days when it comes to Ron Paul and Rand Paul. And I do believe this is going to be the end of the campaign for liberty. If Ron Paul does not come clean and come up with some reason why he's done this, his legacy, his everything to do with him being, you know, the George Washington, Thomas Jefferson routine, you know, bringing back liberty, will be all for nothing. And that's my take on that one. And on that note, Charles, any last words of wisdom for the night? We've got 4 minutes.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not get off your butts and start showing an interest in your country, you will not have one. I'm 77. I serve my country. I was willing to die for it. I'm still willing to die for it. Are you? Or are you just going to sit there and watch the idiot box and the sitcoms and not do anything? This country is so great that you can make something good for yourself. Or you can let those who are in power tell you what to do for the rest of your life the way they want you to do it, not the way you want to do it. So remember one thing. God bless America. God bless our troops. Thank the troops for serving you. And thank the police officers and the fire departments and the EMTs and the doctors, because they are providing a service for you. And go to church and thank God for this wonderful country, because he is still over it, above it, and it is his.
Yeah, I'm going to be picking him up and bringing him over there.
Okay.
Well, sounds like Doreen's going to be picking someone up and taking him someplace.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you on that note, Charlie.
Doreen. I'm his sister, Doreen Half.
Doreen, you still there?
V-O-R-E-E-N.
No, she's on the phone.
Yeah, she's on another call.
Better mute her.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be off the air in just a minute. But well, we thank Doreen for calling in, as always. We always enjoy her conversation. And, yes, we are one nation under God. This is, God gave us an opportunity and a country, a land, a nation, that with so many opportunities to do the right thing. But we've got to get the evildoers out of public office. We've got to get back to those core beliefs that are what this country is founded on. You know, and Glenn Beck talks about that a lot. If we don't get back to being decent, moral people, then it's all over. And I agree. And we have got a Congress and a White House and state houses. I mean, just about every public office. You know, elected public office has become the haven for the evildoers who will sacrifice we the people for their own personal gain, and it's wrong. We have definitely got to change it back. And on that note, thank you for tuning in. Please tune in on Wednesday. And as always, may God bless the USA. Good night.